Here in the book of Exodus, you see that he starts out by saying, now these are the names. That word now, it also interacts with the word and. It's a continuation, many writers say, of Genesis. At the end of Genesis, you have, you know, the last thing that Moses is, you know, saying about those days. And then we come to the book of Exodus 1, now, or, you know, he's saying, and now, these are the names of the children of Israel. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel. So there's a continuation in the history of the Israelites. Moses wrote these first five books, we believe, or is known as the writer or the author. Some say that he could have been some of the sons of Jacob, sons of Israel, that wrote Genesis, or even, you know, possibly, you know, some referred to, you know, from the days of Abraham. But they are called the Pentateuch, five, which means five, first five books of the Bible. And Moses is recognized as the author, has been given inspiration. Now, we do know a lot of scholars try to say that, you know, Moses wasn't. Here in the book of Exodus, Moses wasn't. But the Lord himself referred to the words of Moses that Moses said, and he quotes him out of the book of Exodus. Amen. So if our Lord said that Moses was the author, I'm going to believe our Lord, not a bunch of dumb scholars. Amen. That's pretty easy. I mean, if you just read your Bible, you'll run across things like that, and it'll settle a lot of deep thought in your heart. You know, it would help some of these college professors, you know, just to be Bible believers, to believe God. But here they are, they're starting. And Genesis records the beginning family of Israel. Abraham, he's the very first. There was no Israel. There was no Jew. Abraham was the first. And it starts out with him, and God gives him the promise that in Isaac, his son, in thy seed, in Isaac, you know, the seed would come, and that all the earth would be blessed. All the nations of the earth would be blessed. So you have Abraham, his son Isaac. He also had Ishmael. You think about all of the multitudes of people that came through the loins of Ishmael that were sons, grandsons of Abraham that we don't know about. But they lived. And, of course, Isaac and his family. Isaac had two sons. You know, just like Abraham had two sons. Isaac had two sons. He had Jacob and Esau. And we always refer to them as Jacob and Esau. But really, Esau was the older. Esau was the older. He had the birthright. You remember the story. And how that he sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. And, you know, Jacob had prepared that for him. And then how that Jacob, you know, deceived his father when he put that goat skin on his hand because it was hairy. And, you know, his father, Jacob, was blind and said, come here, let me feel your hand. And he said, well, you know, you feel like Jacob. I mean, that says something about the hand of Jacob being hairy. I mean, to have a, you know, a goat skin with hair on his hand to fool his father that he was his brother, to receive the blessing. And he was due that blessing because that Ishmael sold it. Had his father known, had Isaac known, I don't, you know, would he have went on with that, or would he have tried to you know, fix what had been done. I don't know. That's not the way it happened, though. But Isaac blessed Jacob, and then Jacob had the 12 sons. And Jacob was a trickster. His name meant supplanter, and but he became a spiritual man. Israel. God called him Israel. And so that was his spiritual name. And through Jacob, through Israel, the 12 sons, or now became the 12 tribes of Israel. So Genesis records the family, the first family of Israel. Exodus records the beginnings of Israel as a nation. They were never a nation. They were a family. Now they are a nation. And they are many. And so remember that when you're reading this. Now, as we look in the book of Exodus, and we know that it is a book of redemption, that God's people are going to be redeemed, bought with a price, brought out of Egypt. The word Exodus means a departure, a leaving. And it's because they're leaving out. But here is the thought that I begin to think about today as I just read this. Now, these are the names. Now, in Genesis and in many other books, he'll say, these are the generations. But here he says, these are the names. It's more personal, it seems to me. These are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob. Now, these names, it's because there are not 50 years or 100 years. Then it would have been, these are the generations. But all these boys are raised in the same house. This is one family that came down to Egypt with their father. Their brother Joseph already being in Egypt. They had sold him and lied to their father, Jacob. Said, you know, that he was his dead. You know, an animal got him. And so his father did not know that he was alive. And so you know about the story of Joseph. You know about the story of Jacob. He wrestled with God. And then the story of Joseph, how he interpreted the dreams, you know, of his house, and knew that he would be over his house. And that's what caused his brothers to sell him. And then he interpreted dreams while he was in prison in Egypt. Interpreted dreams for Pharaoh and became the second in command. Now listen, to me, at this time, I wonder just how big Egypt was at this time. If a man, a young man by the name of Joseph, an Hebrew, can be brought into a Pharaoh's family or midst and be made second in command over his people, I'm just thinking, is Egypt at this time just a small tribe? They're going to grow just like the Israelites grew from a family to a nation. I don't know. I don't know how huge Egypt was at this time, but no doubt they were many. There was a lot that it took for them to grow corn, to sustain themselves, as well as the known nations of the world. So no doubt they were a pretty good size nation at this time, one of the oldest nations on the earth, still in existence today. But these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt, every man and his household. Listen to these, the names of the children of Israel. Every man, his household, came with Jacob. Then he says, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, and all the souls, he called them souls, all the souls that came, those that life had, breath had been, the wind of God had been breathed into them. All the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already. Now here's the, here I'm getting to the point. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. He didn't know that generation. He had not been told about that generation. Jacob was dead. Jacob's 12 sons were dead. Right down to Joseph. That generation... We read their story, is what I'm saying, in the book of Genesis. And the things that they did and the experience with God that they had. But then they died. They passed. And then there was a generation that didn't even know them. Did not even know them. But listen to what I'm saying here. I mean, you and I, we need to live our life and live our life in such a way for God that another generation might remember us. I don't want to be just forgotten, live and be forgotten. I still speak of my granddaddy. He's not forgotten. There are other men of God and women that loved God and served God. I mean, just in the last several hundred years or even maybe even longer, that have not been forgotten. And their story is told. But think about them living and doing all the things that they did. And now there's a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Now it almost puts me in peril to think Abraham's gone, the father of the faith, the man who offered up Isaac, the man who heard the voice of God, the man who went out. That God gave him the promise. The land that God gave to him, Canaan's land. And to his sons, the man whom in his family, Christ would come through his family. The seed of his family. And not all, but just, I mean, one area. I mean, again, Ishmael was a son. And think of all those people, but none of them would Christ come through. Think of the other sons, blessed in their own right to be the sons of Israel, the tribes of Israel. But only one of those tribes, only one of those sons would Christ come through his family. Hey. That's a lot of uncles and aunts and cousins and nieces and nephews that are not promised that Christ would come through their lineage, their family name, but through Judah. Judah. And it was promised that he would. Joseph died. They died. And all his brethren and all that generation. Think of the generations that were here. And they're gone. And there's a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Had he been told and had he known their story, if somebody would have told him, maybe he would have knew. He was worried. Verse 10, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also our enemies. If they would have known the story, if he would have known how they got there to begin with and known about Joseph, he would have known these people would have fought by his side and not against him. People need to know where we stand by our story. Amen? If people just get to know who we are, they may be able to deal more wisely. Look upon our children and see us. But again, it almost pressed me to think that all these were gone. Joseph's gone. And all that generation gone. But God raised up a Moses. God raised up a Joshua. God raised up some people just as fabulous in that family. Some, maybe even more so. I mean, here you have the 12 sons, you know, of Israel. What a list! How many times do you hear Zebulun mentioned or Naphtali? Now, let me ask you this. How many times do you hear Moses mentioned? Whole nother generation. Then it's not that these men didn't have worth, but they were one generation that came and went. Now there's another generation that is going to be raised up. Now here we are. Listen, we think back at the Abrahams and the Isaacs and the Jacobs, and we think back on the 12 sons that make up the very core of Israel. Of what they will be. They are the very foundation of it. Of what Israel will be. You can't get no better than that right there. But now there's another generation. They're going to experience God. They're going to walk with God. And God's got a will for their life. Amen. God never meant for Moses to be like Abraham. God had something else for Moses to do. Now Moses learned through Abraham to live by faith. But, Moses, he wasn't going to wrestle with God like Jacob did. He questioned, but then he went. He went, saw all the things that he saw. Think about all those miracles that God did by the hand of Moses.
and bringing them out, bringing them through the wilderness, that generation, then another generation. And then Moses dies, and Joshua takes them on into Canaan land and sees the power of God take down city after city. The walls of Jericho fell. Joshua saw that. Joshua saw what God had promised Abraham years and years and years and years. I don't know how long it was before. Thousands, maybe. It had been close to 2,000. I don't know how long that was. I know that they, from the time Abraham died, and, you know, then he had Isaac, and then he had Jacob, and then Jacob had the 12 sons, and they went down there, and they didn't, you know, I don't know how long they lived, maybe some of them 100 years, that would have been long, but they stayed there 400 years in bondage. Look at how many generations passed before Moses and Joshua and them came along. It saddened me when I was reading this today. Those names, that every man in his household that at one time came into Egypt with Jacob, Joseph died, and all his brethren died, and all that generation passed. And then another king that knew not Joseph. We need to take our examples before us, but we also need to leave an example for someone else. Take our examples that are before us, but also leave an example for somebody else. And it takes faith to do that. It takes as much walking with God from one generation to another generation. But it's faith. It's just simple faith. Believing God, obeying God, knowing God's word. They increased abundantly from generation to generation. I mean, rapidly. Look what the Bible says in verse number 11. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. We wonder how a lot of that stuff got built. A lot of the children of Israel, enslaved, built it. But do you know, they're not even sure today where Pithom and Ramses, those treasure cities, the exact location of them. They think they might. But those were treasure cities, like storehouses for treasure. They build them, whole treasure cities. And those that built them came and went. Even those cities came and went. It wasn't long after that when they began to be treated worse and worse and worse. I'm about done. But they still, some of them, feared God. He wanted them to kill all the male children because they were just increasing abundantly. From generation to generation, it's just more and more and more. So Pharaoh thought, we'd kill all the male children. That way they can't replenish these next generations. It'll be harder to replenish, to have children. But those midwives refused. Why? They feared God. Somebody feared God. Amen. Their names weren't mentioned. Thank God there's a God-fearing midwife in her generation. And just the fact that she was there, known by name or not, she was there. And Moses' life was spared. And many other young male Hebrews were spared. Think about that. My goodness. Anyways, I want you to just think on that. Think on that. Think about that. Having a name. Having a household. Having a journey. And then that generation is gone. People that had a name, had a family, had a journey, and now they're not remembered. The story needs to be told. I'm glad somebody wrote it down. I'm glad somebody wrote it down. Listen, the new king of Egypt may not have known Joseph, but we know him. Amen. I'm glad somebody wrote it down. Somebody saw fit to be moved of God and do something to make sure these things were passed from generation to generation. Listen, if you don't pass it, who's going to pass it along? Are we waiting for Brother Ronnie to do it? He may be waiting for somebody else to do it. And that somebody else may be waiting for somebody else to do it. If we don't pass it along, if we don't do something about it to make sure these things are passed along so that generations don't forget. There was a man that wrestled with God. There's a man that prayed. There's a woman that feared God.
Amen.
This is what she did. What does that do, preacher? What does that do when we pass stuff like that along? Well, it's going to cause another young woman to fear God and another young man maybe to go and wrestle with God. Amen? That's what it's going to do. It's going to stir us in our soul to walk by faith like Abraham. To want to be close to God. Maybe we could see things that other people have a hard time seeing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit enlightens us like he enlightened Joseph. Amen. All right. I don't want to keep you any longer than that. I'm done. Again, just a thought this evening. Think on these things. May it be a blessing to you.